So everybody, like, you know, Pastor Cole, he gets up. I like it that he's from the old school, because there's not a lot of old school preachers left anymore anyways, if you understand what I'm saying. Remember how he brought all these books? Like, hey, you get this book, get this book. Well, I have my whole entire sermon on my phone. And I didn't use the internet to do it either, but I've been trying to do that. So I hope I can read it. That's the problem. Because I am getting to that point in life where life, I love it. I can only see well with the glasses, but I cannot read with the glasses. So I guess I have to get bifocals. Is that what it's called? So I'm like, I'm officially getting older, but I love it. I love the journey. I love all the just the opportunities God gives us to just say something for the Lord. Amen. One thing I get in a lot of community things that I do, I probably get to reach probably 1,000 people a week with different things that I have just obligations that I've started myself, just mostly through myself. And, but it's been a blessing because so many people that I never probably would have the opportunity to talk to before, but always I keep hearing certain subjects, anti-patriotism stuff. Like, oh, America, blah, 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 blah. And it sort of, it got me to like, you know what? What was America like? So I have this crazy book. If you'd like to borrow it, you can, but this is not for easy reading. This is quotes, America's God and Country. It's an encyclopedia of quotations highlighting America's noble heritage, profound quotes from founding fathers, presidents, statesmen, scientists, constitutions, court decisions for the use and speeches, papers, and everything else. And it was just amazing. You would not believe. We live in a time now that they want to rewrite history. They want to rewrite it very quickly. Where they say, well, no, George Washington never said that. Some of the conversations I'm having, people didn't even know that our forefathers even quoted the Bible. This actually has quotations of so many of our forefathers. I just started reading it. And then I realized, our country is just, I mean, anybody been to D.C.? Who's ever visited D.C.? There are scripture verses sketched in stone all over D.C. I mean, all over D.C. They have a new, I went to it, was it this year already? I think so. There's the Bible Museum. Anybody familiar with that? It just came out, I think, last year. If you ever get a chance to go to D.C., they actually have, rolls of 1,000-year-old sheepskin stuff. They go through the history of every Bible. They actually put you on a tour that almost made me sick, and actually did make me sick and almost throw up, because as I'm getting older, I cannot take any kind of motion sickness without pills. And I have to take something, because they put you on this reality 3D ride, and you literally, it takes you to most of the major monuments, and shows you, this verse is on this one. The problem is, it's 3D, and they're flying you to the top of the Washington statue, and then flying you through trees, and I just had to close my eyes, because I'm like, no, I can't take this. I looked over, and here's Pastor Chris. Like, he couldn't take it either. We're like, yes, we're together. No, but it was probably one of the most amazing things I've seen, because we live in a country right now that allows social media. Even some politicians want to tell you that the foundation of America was not on Christian men, was not on the Bible, was not on many of those things. I just want to give you, and this has nothing to do with my sermon, because I just want to encourage you. A couple weeks ago, I heard someone say this. You know, we don't do a lot of fasting. And I don't want people to raise your hand, because you fast in secret anyways. But he said something that I think is very profound. He said, you know, of all the things we need to fast on, we need to fast on this. He said, maybe take a day or two and don't pick it up because you have nothing else to do. Maybe pick up your Bible instead. Maybe pick up and maybe pray instead. The problem is I'm watching a generation that literally, as soon as they have 2 seconds of free time, this is going in front of their face. And if we need to fast on anything, we need to fast on this. I'm not saying, you know, I get emails galore. I go through a lot of stuff. I put information on the internet. I get that. But a lot of times we'll put 3 hours. I think the national average now is something like 8 to 10 per like kid. I mean, I don't even know if there's that much time you could put on one of these. But that's including movies, that's including phone, that's including social media. We are addicted to these things. We're addicted. And may I add, just to throw it in there, we are now in a generation that believes everything this thing says. So social media starts putting down America, we believe it. Generation Z, it's an amazing thing. They just came out with stats. I love these stats. I don't know who makes them up, but Patriot Post had them. They said generation, what is it, the baby boomers? What do they call that, just the baby boomers? Only 2% of society was LGBTQ. Only 2%. Generation X, which is me and some of you in here, only LGBT was 4%. That's we're talking like said they were, but never some people came out, some people didn't. Check this out. As soon as phones came up, which is millennials, it jumped to 12%. And Generation Z, guess how many say they're LGBTQ? Guess. This is the newest generation that is now getting jobs. No, they're saying 28% of them are saying that they're LGBTQ. You know why? Because this is what's throwing it down their throat. And if this is the only thing they're looking at, that's what they get all their information from. So they think, oh, it's just normal. Everybody's that way. But it's not. Amen? This year is an election year. I'm going to throw this up before we really start preaching. You know, get you going. I love this quote. I talked once to he was a communist teacher in Brazil. And we got in a very big discussion. He liked it because we were talking objectively. I wasn't trying to emotionally get in it. I didn't want to get him emotionally. I just wanted to know, what is your thoughts? What are my thoughts? This and that. And I'm telling you, he said a lot of things. I think we need to know our foundation, amen? I think we need to know what our country was built on. But there's a quote of our forefathers that just blows my mind away. Let me quote John Adams. With this election year, I want you to think of this, what he said. He goes, our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. This is a quote from John Adams. Let me say it again. Ready? Right on cue. Now, our Constitution was made only for the moral and religious people. Capitalism only exists under a moral person, because capitalism is all about what? Individual rights, right? But if you don't know what right and wrong is, does it work? You tell me. Come on, you can talk. No, it doesn't work. If you don't know what right and wrong is, guess what? The government would tell you what right and wrong is, which is not in any more capitalism. It is called socialism. See, capitalism, our Constitution, only works with the moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. I want you to understand this. This year is an election year. The people that did not vote the most was Christians. And they proved it in 2020. They said it would have been a landslide if Christians would have voted. But we are starting to get away from politics. Well, it doesn't matter. It's all rigged. It's not rigged. Just vote. Just do the right thing. Because when we morally step away and say, well, you know, it just doesn't matter, be careful. Be very, very careful. I'm just saying that because I believe we live in a great, great country. There is no greater country than this country. I've been in probably 30-some, maybe 40-some countries, and there's nothing anywhere close. Nowhere close. But you can literally let it slip through your fingers. If we're not praying, if we're not fasting, if we're not close and walking with God. So just, hey, maybe a challenge. Turn off your phones a little. Maybe don't pay attention to it. Go back to find out what God did. Amen? And that was just the beginning. So turn to Psalms.
I am not giving up on America.
I feel like too many people, I hear a lot of people say, it just doesn't matter, we're so bad, it's so bad in our country. Did any of you come to this place with a gun held to your head? One person said it. Was it your mom or dad? What was it, Brett? No. No. No, he just wanted to raise his hand, probably. Did any of you were told by the government in a text, you only can spend so much time at church today? Anybody? Anybody? Could any of you, were you told you cannot give out a track? You cannot speak? You cannot? Anybody been told that by any government official anywhere? Unfortunately, I feel like social media has made it look like, oh, it's just so bad. But honestly, you have all the freedoms you've always had. It's still here. We just don't use them. Honestly, there might be a day. I don't want to live to see the day where the government tells you you can't go to church. Well, I sort of lived through it in 2020 and 2021, but that was a little different. Next time, it might not just be COVID. It could just be a law. I don't know. I don't know. But I want to tell you, you do everything in life with no one putting a gun to your head. We live in the freest country. You can trade. You can get a job. You can do whatever you well please. No one's forcing you otherwise. Okay? America is not that bad. And don't you ever give in to these negative people that talk about how bad America is and how horrible it is. Yes, we got a lot of problems. We got a lot of warts. We got a lot of things on here. But I'm telling you, America is still good. Maybe it's not great, but it's very good. It's very good. And don't forget that. The day you stop forgetting to pray and forgetting to read, it's just going to go downhill. And that's what we're going to talk about. Psalms 55. We should run pretty fast. I am going to probably get some participation. I probably won't stay up here. But we're going to read the first 8 verses of Psalms 55. And let's start with verse number 1. It says verse number 1, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." Verse 2, "Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppressor of oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the tears of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah." And verse 8 is probably where we're going to use. I love this car. "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm." I'm blowing into this. This needs to be up or down. Up is better? Okay, we'll keep it up. Verse number 8 says, "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest." There is the old saying, either you're going into a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. Life is just full of storms. It is. It's either you go into one to get out of one. You always feel like, you know, we only live on planet death because when it all comes down to it, we all die anyways. The only one that's ever lived to tell it is Jesus Christ. Everyone else, they're all passing away and they're honking their horns. No. But let's begin in prayer because I have a feeling this thing's going to be probably doing that all night. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. Just thank you for the storms that you give us. Even this year, dear Lord, we know this year our country probably will go through some storms. Even with the election, we'll see a lot of people just not understand what to do. You see a lot of weird reactions. But dear Lord, what does your word say? How should we react in the storm? How should we do what we do? Dear Lord, just help us as we go through the scripture. Help us to realize this is not a game. This is reality. And we love you in your name. Amen. Well, there's a phrase in verse number 8. It says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Isn't it interesting? As we gave, chapter 55 is an interesting chapter. Because you get David. It says right there, a psalm of David. David is literally pleading. Did you notice he has a plea? I mean, if you think about it, you notice in verse 4 it says, my heart is sore pained. He's just got terrors of death are falling upon me. Verse number 5, fearfulness, trembling have come upon me. Even you see he has a plea for revenge. And 9 through 11, I'm just giving you an outline of the Thomas Chain Bible, if you notice. There's an outline in every chapter. It says, the plea of the fearful, a plea for revenge. And then betrayed by a friend, which we know a lot of that, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it, neither was it he that hated me, but that magnified against me, then I would have hid myself from him, but it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. When it really comes down to life, the things that hurt the most are not always the enemies. Sometimes it's just the church people that you're with. Amen? I mean, I had someone try to kill me once. I have the scar. It's probably from here to here. He threatened to kill my wife and my kids at least 3 times, 2 times. Went to the sheriff just to report it. And that was 13 years ago. My wife was frantic for probably longer than me because it didn't really affect me because it wasn't like I knew the guy. It wasn't like I cared about the guy. I mean, he just threatened me because his son got saved and he had an idea that it was all portrayed by me and blah, 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 and the guy was on drugs. And I mean, some of the guys, I think, Kyle, you were there that day, weren't you? You were a teenager back then. That's just storms. But you know, the ones that really affect me are not the ones that are my enemies. Sometimes it's just the ones I'm close to, the ones I'm around, the ones, your family. But your storms, the storms that you go through, I want you to see the first reaction. Did you notice Psalms 55:8? The reaction is, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Do you notice David's first response was, I just want to leave the storm. I think every time we run into something in life, and it doesn't matter if it's physically, some of you, there's just storms physically where you just get sick or you break a leg. I remember at 15, you know, I broke my leg and I didn't care. I was just like, oh, why'd you, you know, you always question everything. It could be physically, some harm, just being sick. I know even lately, I know Sue, BB has been going through a lot of physical. Same thing with Monique and many others in this room. I mean, financially, I know a lot of people that go through storms financially. I mean, I don't know about you, but things aren't getting cheaper, are they? No? Some of you, I like seeing some of you going, yeah, I'm doing great now. Hey, I mean, Bidenomics, or what did they call it? Biden economy or whatever. It works, doesn't it? No. But financially, relationships, there's storms in relationships. Hey, what about those grudges that family uses? There's storms in the family. Disconnect. There's emotionally. There's storms where emotionally you get so involved in things that you start to isolate yourself. That's your first reaction. You just want to escape. I don't want to deal with this. And that is definitely how the attitude of most people are. Hey, I run into a storm. I just want to leave. I just want to escape. I don't want to deal with this. I want to get rid of it. I don't care. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to go away. And that's one thing I notice that could hurt us the most. Because those that were in the Navy, who was in the Navy? I think Mr. Barron. What did they tell the big giant ships to do when they're running into a storm? What's the first thing they tell them to do? What? Bunker down. And they always tell the ship to face the storm. Do they ever take it broadside? No. They say wherever the storm is, they turn the ship into the storm, because if you lay it like this, it's just going to hit it and topple over. Do you ever watch that people, as soon as they leave the storm, does it get better or does it get worse? I think even physically, the Navy knew this. You run, even sometimes those big giant aircraft carriers can be blown over by just a storm if they're hit broadside. So they always tell them, turn and go towards the storm. You gotta face it. You have to face it. Probably the hardest thing in life is to face problems. I don't live your life, but I guarantee many people in this room have a lot of problems that I don't know, but only God does know. But many times we just say, I just want to escape it. I'll just get in my phone. I'll just watch videos. You just find something to cope. You're coping. I know a lot of guys I work with, but a lot of people that I'm involved with, their coping mechanisms are alcohol, drugs, you name it. There's a lot of things out there that people use to cope. Hey, sometimes it's just listening to preaching. I've talked to people that instead of talking to their family, they're like, oh, I just love listening to preaching. I'm like, dude, you need to stop doing that and interact with your family. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can use anything for a coping mechanism to escape and face, not face the storm. Because be responsible. Hey, be accountable. Face the storm. Let's throw up some examples. You tell me, what did Adam and Eve do? Did they face the storm? When all of a sudden they did wrong, what did they do? They just ran, didn't they? And they hid. Did it make it better or did it make it worse? It made it worse. If you notice, almost every time you see something, just, I give you a few time. Name some more characters. Jonah, what did he do? He ran. Did it make it better or worse? Worse. Give some other characters. Come on. David? There were some things he did run to God from, but what is specifically did he not? Bathsheba, he ran, didn't he? Don't you see this correlation? Human nature it's more natural to run than it is to face your problems. When it comes to storms, I think that was David just being real and just saying, I have trembling fear. I have my own friends are I just want to be like a dove. I just want to fly away. Can I just leave? I just want to leave this problem. Let's never talk about this. I'm just going to, like I know a lot of financial people that I'm in a problem, so let's just move away. Let's just, you know, just not pay my credit card because I put myself in debt. They want to just escape the problem and let's just not deal with it. Well, I know I have a problem. I know I said the wrong thing to the person, but I don't want to face up to it and be responsible and go up to them and say, I'm sorry. Let's just run from it. I just don't want to talk to him again. I'm just going to just run away from that. Because, you know, that's pretty humbling to actually tell them, I'm sorry. But is that not how we react? But there's a lot of reactions to the storm. And I think it's interesting. Because a lot of times, if you can find this, in Zechariah 7:14, God uses it in a different way. God uses storms to do some things that are just amazing. Zechariah 7:14, you'll see the mention of storm in this. Actually, it's called whirlwind. So I looked every word up on tempest, storm, whirlwind. Whirlwind is a tornado. And Zechariah 7:14, if you're not there, just pretend like you're there. So, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. This is God talking to his own people, saying, I brought a storm on them to scatter them. See, some storms that in life, God does it to move us. My opinion is, our stubbornness is sometimes so powerful that God uses huge storms to move us. Hey, how many times, I'm thinking, I was thinking of this the other day. I don't even know how to figure out this stuff. You know, I'm going to be 50 this year. I probably, on the average, probably see 4 sermons a week. You know, there's 1, 2, Sunday school, 1, 2, 3, 4, probably 5, because there's always an extra thing that you see every. So 5 times 50. Someone do the math. Who's got a calculator? 5 times 50, 250, times how old you are. That just tells you how many times you hear Scripture. Okay? 5 times 50 times, put your age in there. You've seen that, heard that many sermons, but yet, does God move us enough to actually soul win? Is God moving you enough to pray? You know, sometimes God puts storms in your life to move you. Sometimes you always say, God, why is this happening? Maybe check that, like God, Israel was so stubborn. God said, enough, I'm going to send a tornado literally to scatter you so you can listen to me. That's a sad place to be in, where God, you get so stubborn, where God says, I'm going to shake your world up so that at least now you can see me. Because I think the American dream is the what? Make money and be comfortable. Amen? Is that not what we want? We want to retire early in life. That is definitely a goal of everyone. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is you take God out of the equation, it becomes way too comfortable. It becomes way too, I'm just not doing anything for the Lord, but hey, I give my tithe. I love that our church has money, and I'll just be honest. You guys give, and you do a good job at that, especially with missions. We're probably all the way around the world. But is that the only blessing that God gives us? Financial? There's so much more. We want to reach people that are the unlovely, that are the undisciplined. But so many times we're so stubborn, God's got to shake us up and say, come on! Pay attention. He did it with his own country. He also did this. Proverbs 10:25. Proverbs 10:25. So a lot of times we want to escape from the storm, but God says, no, no, no. Sometimes they use it to move you because of our stubbornness. Also, Proverbs 10:25 says, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. God uses storms to separate the weak from the strong. There's many times in life I don't like storms. I don't like things that I cannot control. I think we're all there, wouldn't you say? Don't you wish life could be everything? You could just control it, move it where you want. Hey, if it's a problem, let's take care of it. Let's do this, let's do that. But one thing about storms, you're not in control. You ever notice that? And no one likes to be vulnerable, do they? But one thing about a storm, it will separate the weak from the strong. There's one thing I love about cutting wood. I love cutting wood because I love seeing some of these. I had 3 hickories this year that I was given. I love cutting them. Anybody familiar with hickory wood? What is it full of? Knots, isn't it? But you know what makes it so hot when it burns? It's those knots. Almost like if you ever deal with oak wood and you ever run into a really knotty oak, I'm telling you, that stuff burns so hot, it'll sometimes just turn your metal and turn it red. Because what makes it so good is it's been weathered so well. Like, you know, the wind will come by and snap off a branch. Well, what it does, it'll just go over that branch and heal over it, but I have this huge knot, and then it grows over the knot. And then through years, some of this knotty stuff is so powerful, you burn it and you're like, wow, this is amazing wood. But it was only good for that purpose because of all the weather it went through and all the storms it went through. I also know other trees like weeping willow. Anybody have those around? Just the slightest little wind, and what is happening to those branches? They're just like snapping off left and right because there's just not much to them. It burns like paper with the knots or without the knots. It just doesn't do well because it's not very strong. But I will say one thing. Hey,
this race we run is not for the shortness. The race we run is a marathon. Some of you, you just started. You might just say, well, hey, I still look at myself as young. I got a long life to live. Even Pastor Cole might have 30 more years on him. I don't know. His dad lived to be, 90 almost. Yeah, probably has 25 years then. Possibly, we don't know. But how does your storms define you? But there's also some things that I would say this is one of the hardest things. In Jeremiah 23:19 says this, "Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked." Even seven chapters down in Jeremiah 30:23 says, "Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continual whirlwind." That's a storm. It's a tornado. "It shall fall," I love this phrase, "with pain upon the head of the wicked." One way that God uses storms is, as we saw in the beginning, to move us. It's also to separate us. But it's also to punish us. Many times God said, "I've had enough." And he does this with his own. He's not worried about it, the unsaved. We're talking the saved. We don't believe, I'm not trying to say it for everybody. But I don't think we really believe in the fear of the Lord that much anymore. Especially as Christians. Because I've never heard of so many Christians that do such wicked things. Like they have no problem swearing. They have no problem drinking. They have no problem doing drugs. They have no problem, well, I could just do whatever I want. You can commit adultery. You can do whatever. And you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, that is wicked. That is abominable. And it says right here that God, he said, "In my fury, I will bring a storm to punish you." And a lot of times, if you look at, and I'm not saying everybody that goes in a storm, God's just, but many times when you do go through a storm, do say, "God, is this because of a behavior of mine? Is it something that you're bringing to help me to notice I'm not doing right here? I didn't say the right thing. I'm not doing the right thing. I definitely have the wrong attitude, or I'm doing the wrong action. I do not know." I mean, Jonah 1:4, we all know this, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. The Lord sent the storm to Jonah. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. I don't know about you, but ships are made to go through storms. If that ship was almost going to be broken by what God brought to him, that's pretty powerful. You better be careful, because there's something about, I've lived in church most of my life. Actually, I've lived in church my whole life. Let's just put it that way. Even in the womb, I was in the church. I grew up in the church. It's easy to get used to, oh, that was a cool sermon. It's an entertainment. I'm sorry. Sometimes preaching is just entertainment, because if it was more than that, we'd remember it. We don't remember it because it's just nothing more than entertainment. Yeah, well, that was a good sermon. I like that. That was cool. But then 2 weeks later, we don't even think about it. We don't even try to do something about it. Which tells me that we're getting too used to things. And then we start getting into sin and we get used to those things. You remember how you get real close to one thing? And then you just keep getting closer and closer and closer. Before you know it, you do things that you know you shouldn't be doing. And God says, enough! Isn't it funny? Even Jonah himself said, and he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, the great tempest is upon you." Being self-conscious. A lot of times we are not self-conscious of what God is doing in our life. We live in a world that is so busy that we can be about constantly shopping, online. Hey, if there's any second, we'll just, hey, what's going on? I mean, we can keep every second of our life just busy, 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 busy forever and not be self-conscious of what God is trying to do. Say, don't you see what you're going through? I'm trying to get your attention. In the process, do you realize if Jonah did not, he finally came to himself and said, hey, God brought this in. If he didn't do that, do you think everybody in that ship was going to die? Absolutely. So it didn't just affect him. It affected everyone. But it also does some good things. Psalm 83, verse 15. Says, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. Sort of hit on a little. It says, God will give you fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. There's something about storms. I don't know about you. Anybody? All I got to do is just say, well, what is the storm that you remember? Memorable. Blizzard 77. I actually do have one image of that. I was 3 years old, because I was born in 74. I was at Grandpa's house in Michigan. And all I remember is this image of opening up the door, and all I remember seeing is just the white, just this white thing. And I remember just going, why is there this big white thing here? You know, and that's all I remember. Literally, the snow in Michigan got so high, it was above the door. And I remember just opening up the screen door, and I remember this image is just going, how do we get out? You know, like, you know, just a three-year-old. Anybody remember anything else? Yeah, Christmas time. I remember coming back from Hamburg and got stuck in one of those things years ago. And I remember watching, as I'm coming back in 62, I'm watching a truck just go right into the, literally went right into the field. And I was like, I couldn't even see the road. You know how you roll down your window? Remember all that? What's the first thought that comes in your head? What's the first thing you want to do? What do you want to do? You want to slow, but no, I mean, what is your main focus? I just want to get home. I want to get in safety. Isn't it funny, no matter what storm you always want, you want to be in safety. And time is eluding a little. But that fear, because you remember that fear you had of, oh, I better do this right or I'm going to be stuck like everyone else. Hey, sometimes we create our own problems. Hosea 8:7 talks about that. But this is what I like. Look for God in the storm. Nahum 1:3 says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And I love this. And will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind. Look for God in the storms. I think the problem with social media, as soon as we have a storm, we just want to complain about it to everybody. I can't believe this. I can't, oh, this is terrible. This is bad. This is, and we complain, complain, complain. I mean, you're in the most, Mike said it this morning. What was the term? You always use it. We're in the most financially, whatever, the best. How does that go? You always say that all the time. Yeah, we're in the most wealthiest nation, in the most prosperous time. But yet we make a mess of it. You know what I mean? And then we get in a storm and then we think, oh, what is the problem here? And God's like, hello, you're not doing what I told you to do in the Bible. But God can calm it. Psalms 107:29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And we don't have to go through it, but Matthew 8 talks about he was on the sea and he said we all know the phrase, what? Peace. Be still. He said it in Mark. He said it in Luke. See, God makes himself a refuge in the storm. Isaiah 25:4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm. I love that phrase. I was just reading through my Bible, and what stirred this was actually I had a conversation with with you. She goes, hey, she's telling me how she read in Job. Where in Job does it talk about a storm? We'll try to end it with that. She was reading through it, and it stirred my interest on, oh, that's interesting. Twice it says in the Bible, in Job. It says, in the whirlwind, God spoke to Job. It says that twice. You're alluding to that. And you were calling me one day and said, hey, I saw this. And I thought, oh, that is really cool. Because despite all that goes around us, God whispers to us, but you can't hear it when you're too busy, can you? You can't hear it if you're not fearing God. You can't hear it if you're not correctly positioned with God. If you're trying to run away from it, you're not going to hear God. But if you turn towards the, face the storm, get in the storm, let God do something in your life, then all of a sudden, God becomes a refuge. Hey, I don't know about you, but there's many times when you remember there's nothing you can do. Ever been in those positions in the storm where you just throw up your hands and just say, God, I have no idea. I don't know what he can, I have no idea. I don't even know what to say. I remember many times I'd be like, I wish I could help this person. I have no idea what to say to them, how to help them. I don't know. I just throw my hands up and say, God, sometimes you just cry for these people. Or you cry for yourself and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But in the midst of the whirlwind, it says, and God spoke. But you can only do that if you keep quiet. We live in such a loud, busy world. I think there are so many. I love the testimony of Bree. Saying, I got to give them the gospel, and they listen. And you thought at first they're going to be like overreactive, like most people, like, oh, I don't want to hear your God. I don't want to hear any of that. But it's amazing how people are there. People want to know. They want to see. We live in such a dark world. I mean, you ever watch the world go through the storm? Do you know what is the number one drug right now? Oh, I mean, number one drugs that we're using right now is for what? Guess what? Antidepressants. Why you think? Because they have no idea how to deal with a storm. When we as Christians sometimes do the same reactions. When we're the ones that need to be calm. And sometimes just listen for God's words. Sometimes Jeff showed me something that was really cool. Anybody remember Brother Fisher? Remember? He had a stroke this year. I think this year, right? He had a stroke this year, and he showed me something that was really cool. He actually showed him getting up, and his hand just does this constantly. And he's up here, and he goes, I embrace what I have done, what has happened to me. I glory in his, because he stumbles with his words, you know, what God has done in my life. And I'm sitting there going, now that's a man that understands a storm. And he's sitting there going, hallelujah. And he says, and I've been closer to God than ever. Sitting there, can't even control his hand anymore. And I'm sitting there going, and we complain about what? How can we complain? God is good, isn't he? And we'll just end with this. Job 31:8. Then the Lord answered Job. I love this. Answered Job out of the whirlwind and said. Job 40 verse 6 says, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind, out of the storm, out of the tornado, and said. Whatever you do, don't run away from God's word. Run to God. I don't know who this is for, but I am so glad I know God. This world knows nothing about him. I cannot believe how many, you have no idea. I get to talk to the state counselors a lot, dealing with these men. So I ask them, like, hey, since you guys are counselors, I talk to the director all the time and say, you got all the stats. Tell me what's going on. And they said, it is not looking good right now, because they get to see a lot of, you know. I said, well, how many ODs or whatever? They said it, like, every day people are dying of drug overdose. Every day people are dying of all those shots for depression and stuff like that. He says, every single day we are out of control. And that, he said, that's just Erie County. That's just Erie County. I can't imagine all of America. We have the answer. Amen? So let's end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the storms. Help us embrace them. Dear Lord, help us to realize that we need you more than we need our phones, more than we need our cars, our jobs. We need you. This world is falling apart, going through so many storms. and they need help. We have people all around us that probably are going through so many storms, but we don't see it because we're so busy. We're so involved in so many different things, we're not reaching out like we should be. I'm sure I get convicted more than ever. I would love to reach hundreds of people a week if I could. But dear Lord, thank you for being the calm in the storm. Thank you for being the refuge. Thank you for being the sweet voice that we can hear. When everything around us is falling apart, we can still hear your voice when we read your word. And it calms our soul. Dear Lord, maybe some people here are going through some storms and they said, I don't feel calm. Maybe you don't feel the Lord calming you. Maybe the Lord isn't your refuge. I pray, dear Lord, we don't have to go forward or anything tonight. We've been here a while. I went over a little. Help us to realize, dear Lord, we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to where God is God and we are human. Sports is not God. Our phones are not God. Family is not God. You alone are God. And forgive us, dear Lord. Forgive us so much. While the world is literally dying and going straight to hell through these storms, they have no answer. They have no hope. They have nothing. But we sit in here, keepers of aquariums. Help us to reach our family. Help us to reach those around us that are hurting. Help us to just ask people, how you doing? Try to help somebody today. We love you. We thank you. And ask all these things in your name. Amen. Well, since we're going a little late, we're just going to probably just miss. You can play something. So thank you for coming tonight. Hope that was a help. And think about fasting from your phone. Amen.